Today on Seculo, the main Russian source of the Steele dossier was on the FBI's payroll. No joke. In fact, until 2020. We'll talk about that more today on the show.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Yes, you heard that right. I mean, even that sentence alone, it was tough to get out without kind of laughing. Or am I reading this correctly? Are we really talking about this seriously? So you have the FBI, we now know, because of a filing that was released by John Durham and the special counsel's investigation there into Igor Deshenko. Now, Igor was Christopher Steele's main source for really the nastiest stuff they said about Donald Trump in the Steele dossier. This was the guy. This was the Russian connection. This was the Russian inside source. Well, here's the problem with Igor. A couple things. One is, 10 years before he had anything to do with this Steele dossier and Donald Trump was running for president, they wanted to take him down with false information. He was being investigated by the FBI as a Russian intelligence asset in Washington, D.C., because he was working at a think tank and he started to approach people saying, I know people, hey, you're about to get a job in an administration. If you get access to classified information, I know people who will buy that. The only reason that investigation came to an end was Igor fled the United States, returned back to Russia. But then he reared his head again, this time in 2016, you know, with the election and with the Steele dossier back in the United States. But get this, Christopher Steele gets let go from the FBI because he was talking to reporters, violating leaking information. Yeah, that's the true way of saying it. But guess who gets brought on when Steele is pushed out? Igor. So they hire someone they were investigating as a Russian asset to continue, and this is the kicker, Dad, for me, until 2020.
Oh, and that's because
that is through the next election cycle.
Well, first of all, you realize they hire the guy, right? And he's hired, he's paid by our taxpayer dollars. He was investigated, as Jordan said, as a counterintelligence officer for the Russian intelligence. They then hire him to verify the aspects of the Steele dossier. They keep him on payroll until a month before the election last 2 years ago. Why? Because if they had him not on the payroll, he's not a human asset. And you could be disclosed to all the government agencies with all the oversight. So what's fascinating for this, when we come back from the break, I am going to read you from the filing of the United States of America versus Deshenko. And Deshenko is accused of lying to the FBI. But it says, I'm reading this from the document, folks. In March of 2017, the FBI signed up the defendant as a paid confidential human source of the FBI. The FBI terminated its source relationship with the defendant in October of 2020. By the way, where was that in the Mueller report? Did I miss that section about Igor Deshenko? That one I didn't see? Another one of their messes? So this is the continuous practice of this is the Federal Bureau of Investigation leadership doing this. So understand why there's skepticism right now when the government's doing this. We're going to get into this more in the next segment. I want to get your reaction to this. We want to hear what you have to say about a Russian spy, basically, or someone accused of being a Russian spy, hired by the FBI and kept on the payroll till after the Mueller report was done. 1-800-684-3110. This will be a good Freedom of Information Act request. Again, 1-800-684-3110. We'll take your calls when we come back from the break. 800-684-3110.
Yeah, this is not a double agent, by the way. This is a guy who was being investigated as a Russian intel asset a decade ago. He flees, he comes back, and now he's at the center of the dossier. And of course, the special counsel's investigation. 1-800-684-3110. If you want to weigh in on this, that's 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Seculo.
So here's the special prosecutor John Durham's latest filing. He says that Igor Dechenko, the primary source for the discredited Steele dossier, this is the Russian source that Christopher Steele was relying on, was paid by the FBI as a confidential human source for 3 years, despite prior concerns and investigation that he was tied to Russian intelligence services. That's because about a decade ago, when he was at a think tank in Washington, D.C., and there was about to be a new president, some of those people were going into the new administration, and he grabbed them by the side and, you know, and said, "Hey, I know people. You're going to have access to classified info. I have people that will pay, you know, top dollar for that." Those people then reported him. They did the right thing. Reported him, and he fled. But then he comes back. And he comes back right when Christopher Steele is getting pushed out because he's violated department policies of leaking information to the press. So Steele gets pushed out. Who do they bring in to replace Steele? Igor. They bring Igor back. This is someone the FBI was concerned was Russian intel. And they bring him back for what purpose? Up until a month before the 2020 election. And the only purpose would be to continue to push their bogus claim that the dossier was legit.
And to also not have to disclose this to oversight committees because he was a current asset. I want to read you exactly the wording used by Durham. I think this is coming from the brief filed in the U.S. District Court in the Eastern District of Virginia, which is Alexandria. In March 2017, the FBI signed the defendant up as a paid confidential human source of the FBI. The FBI terminated its source relationship with the defendant in October of 2020. That's a month before the election. As alleged further in detail below, the defendant lied to the FBI agents during several of the interviews. So understand exactly what has taken place here. They hire a guy. They pay him. Mueller was done. And they're still paying him. Ask yourself this question. Why in the world were they still paying him until a month before the 2020 election? How come this wasn't in the Mueller's report? He didn't know about this? I mean, really, please. And they talked about collusion? I mean, there was no evidence of collusion with the Trump campaign and Russia. Yeah, but there's evidence of the FBI kind of colluding with Russia or Russian agents.
Yeah,
and they thought this guy was a counterintelligence agent for the Russian FSB.
Totally unrelated to this.
Yes.
Like a decade before, because he went around. First of all, he had a lot of contacts with the Moscow embassy, the Russian embassy in D.C. with intel people. So he was seen around D.C. with the intel people from the embassy. So that's one side. Second side is he literally went up to people at his place of work in a think tank and said, "Hey, you're about to go into the administration. You're going to have access to classified info. I have people who will buy it." I mean, that's pretty upfront as it gets. And those people reported him, and he fled. So they opened up an investigation that first time, but he fled the country. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Carolyn in Virginia on line three. Hey, Carolyn.
Hi. This is the first I've heard anything about this. Why are we not hearing about this on the major news network?
Because it totally cuts against the narrative of the left. And that was, there was, you know, that Mueller failed only because he couldn't prove beyond a reasonable doubt that there was collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. They certainly don't want out there that the FBI hired a source that was the subject 6 years earlier of a investigation because they thought the guy was an FSB. That's the Russian KGB, basically, the replacement for the KGB. And then they put him on payroll as the consultant informant on the Steele dossier, which none of it is verifiable. And James Comey tells that to the then incoming president in 2017. He says this is unverified. But meanwhile, they hired the guy, kept him on payroll until 4 weeks before the election for president in 2020. So ask yourself, what was he doing during this period of time that he deserved our taxpayer money? So now they've indicted him, which I think Durham's doing the right thing. Where it goes, who knows? But the point is, you had, when Christopher Steele is pushed out, they keep this guy on payroll. Why? Because they don't want him testifying. They don't want information about him shared with Congress. They don't want it shared with other people. As a human source, they say they can protect it. That's exactly what this is.
Yeah, we'll go back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684. They are very upset about this. 1-800-684-3110. Mike in Tennessee on line one. Hey, Mike.
Thank you so much for taking my call. As a Christian American conservative, the evidence points to the fact that they lie, they cheat, they steal, which makes them crooked. And I don't think we can expect anything different than to see crooked behavior.
So here's what's interesting about this, though. This isn't someone saying to the FBI. Now, if the Republicans get the House of Representatives and the Senate, they could do oversight hearings on this, and I'm sure they will. We're going to see what kind of FOIA information we can get out on this. Freedom Information Act request. But you understand something. This is the United States Department of Justice bringing the case against Igor Deshenko. It's not an internal investigation, as far as we know, of the Inspector General saying, why in the world were you hiring this guy when you thought he was an agent for the Russian government 6 years, 8 years before? And paying him taxpayer dollars. And why in the world did you keep him on the payroll until a month before the 2020 election? What possible justification did you have for that? So we'll take your calls on this at 1-800-684-3110. And Jordan, politically, this is very bad for the left.
It is. And I think this continues that narrative for Trump supporters when you look at all of the action that's occurred just this week. That there's such bad actors at the top at the FBI, such bad judgment at the FBI. I mean, the fact that you would bring in someone back into the fold who was already investigated as being a Russian agent trying to purchase classified information, and you're going to bring them back into the fold to put together a dossier, you're going to pay them out of taxpayer funds, make them an asset of the U.S. government, when you suspected they were not some kind of double asset, but they were actually an asset of the Russian intelligence community. And why on earth this, again, formed the entire basis for why there was a special counsel investigation. And so we rely on phony Christopher Steele and Igor, the Russian military, the Russian intel agent. And they were paying them with our dollars. And this, again, I think it directly relates to what we're seeing right now at the FBI, which is it feels like political persecution of conservatives and certainly people surrounding President Trump. And this idea that we now find out about this. Lord knows who they've got advising them right now.
Well, that's the thing you don't know. So what this doesn't get to is who's in charge, who's their sources right now on all this stuff. Because you got to assume that this is an ongoing operation. It's hard to believe that it would not be. But I'm going to tell you this, folks. I'm telling you, this is exactly what we're concerned. It never made its way into Bob Mueller's report. They should have been disclosing to us exculpatory evidence. This would have been a big one. The guy lied. We fired him. Now they're going to say, oh, we didn't find out he lied till after the fact. I mean, this is the nonsense that we're dealing with here. Let's go ahead and we take another call. You all are calling on this. Obviously, it's a big topic. 1-800-684-3110. Who's next?
Yeah, Sean in West Virginia online too. Hey, Sean.
Guys, thanks for taking my call. Sure. I appreciate it. With everything with the roadmap of investigations and all this stuff over the years, Trump has a pretty solid base of being, you know, pointed out and targeted on this stuff. Is there any way the Supreme Court can get a hold of this and say, you know, your rights have been violated, this man's been persecuted?
Well, you'd have to bring a cause of action. You can't bring it. It doesn't originally arise in the Supreme Court. You'd have to bring an action in the district court. And the best way to have done that, I think, would have been to bring a challenge to this search warrant under the Fourth Amendment. They didn't do it. And there may be reasons they don't know it that we don't know, because we're not representing, so we don't know all the details. But that's how you would enforce your concerns here. This is equally a legal issue, obviously, because he's been indicted, but it's also a political issue here, Jordan.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that what you have to understand is that, you know, there's the one thing of what do you want to bring up? Who do you want to take to court? There's a lot of legal things going on right now in the President Trump's world. And the second, it's, you know, this idea was already defeated. We defeated the Russian narrative for now. Now, I think if he was the candidate again, it comes right back again.
Oh, 100%.
So that's why you have to file this away, very importantly. Even if this case comes to a close at the end of the year, file this away, because if President Trump does run again, they'll come up with the same kind of narratives. This will be one of them. And so I think that's where you go politically. You fight the battles. And what you can do is continue to elect people and really start electing people in mass that the FBI is just not able to pick out 1, 2, 3, 4, because you're telling the FBI, you're telling the Department of Justice, These are the people we want leading our country.
I'm going to tell you something, folks, as two of the lawyers that handled this. And none of this was disclosed during TUS. This was going on. We knew about the Christopher Steele issues, obviously. We knew about Fusion GPS, which is all in this brief. But none of this was disclosed to us. So ask yourself this question. This is what's not. What else do we not know that took place during this time? Whatever your political positions are, it's irrelevant. This is, we live in a constitutional republic. There's due process of law. What else do we not know? That's what I'd like to know.
Yep. All right, folks. Continue to call us. 1-800-684-3110. We'll take more of your calls, more of your comments, more of your questions at 1-800-684-3110. Find out more about all the work we're doing at ACLJ.org. So I think at this point, you know, Christopher Steele, he was Fusion GPS. He was this former British spy who became an asset for the FBI, putting together this dossier and report on Donald Trump that was being paid for by the Clinton campaign. Okay, so we all know that. Then Steele gets pushed out in 2016, not because they don't love his information, but because he starts leaking to the press, he becomes too much of a liability. So he goes back to the UK and kind of really does disappear. Then we've now found out through an unsealed court filing by a special counsel Durham, who I will say, you know, I know people expected a lot more from Durham, but let's just focus in on this one because of how outrageous it is. Guess who the FBI replaced Steele with? His main Russian source. A guy named Igor Danchenko. Now, Igor was not just somebody who showed up on the scene in you know, 2016, 2017 with the FBI as someone who may be flipping from Russian intel. Now, in fact, he was being investigated during his time in Washington, D.C. with the D.C. think tank by the FBI because he started approaching his colleagues at that think tank who were about to leave the think tank and enter a new administration and said to them, hey, you're going to have access to classified information. I have people who pay top dollar for that if you're interested. His colleagues report him. He flees the United States. Then, a few years later, 2017. So they don't have Christopher Steele anymore. They need the guy who made the allegations in the dossier. Where's this Russian source? Well, now we know. It's Igor Danchenko, the former Moscow Russian intel a guy who was being investigated for trying to get classified info and buying that from people about to enter an administration, is who they're using as the main source for the most salacious info in the Steele dossier.
Yeah, and let me read to you. It says, the FBI learned that Christopher Steele relied primarily on a then U.S.-based Russian national, the defendant Igor Danchenko, to collect information that ultimately formed the core allegations found in the Steele report. It also noted that in July and continuing through December of 2016, the FBI began receiving a series of reports from former British government employee Christopher Steele and his firm. Earlier that year, Perkins Coie, a U.S.-based international law firm acting as counsel to Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign, retained Fusion GPS to conduct research on Trump associates. It then says that from January 2017, listen to this, folks, listen to the dates here, from January of 2017 through October of 2020. Now, Mueller is long done. October of 2020, and as part of its efforts to determine the truth or falsity of specific information in the Steele report. So they are still looking at the Steele report in October of 2020, a month before the election, and the Mueller report had been closed and the report issued and he'd already testified before Congress? I mean, think about this. Then it says the FBI conducted multiple interviews of the defendant regarding, among other things, the information that he provided to Steele. It then says, and I want to get this exactly as it's written, in March of 2017, so this is 2 months after Donald Trump was sworn in as president of the United States. The FBI signed up the defendant, so they weren't stopping. As a paid confidential human source of the FBI, it means taxpayer dollars went to him. The FBI terminated its source relationship in October of 2020, and the allegation is the defendant lied to FBI agents during their interview process. Folks, none of this was anybody made aware of during the course of the Mueller probe. Are you going to tell me Bob Mueller and his team didn't know about this? That this was that false? They should have opened and they should have never opened Crossfire Hurricane, but it should have been closed immediately. And this just shows you how it reeks. So when I see these guys on CNN, the former FBI directors, assistant directors, please. I mean, really. Let's go take some more calls. 800-684-3110.
Yeah. Let's go to Jerry in Rhode Island on line 4. Hey, Jerry. Welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Hello, team. 5 years and we keep hearing stuff about the FBI. Now I'm talking to two members of the legal team, taxpayer-funded, who paid for the impeachment. Are there discovery sanctions against somebody here that you guys didn't have this information?
Well, it was exculpatory information that they should have made us aware of, but they were going to say they weren't going to indict anyways because they couldn't indict us. You can't indict a sitting president. So that's their defense. But you would have thought in their report, in the transparency and honesty, they would have said, hey, listen, we checked this source down, which was paid for until, of course, he was being paid for after the guy was being paid after Mueller wasn't being paid. Bob Mueller was done. Jim Quarles done. That whole group done. Andrew Weissman done. And they're still paying this guy, the Russian source. I mean, think about that. Is really unbelievable when you realize what they've done here.
Yeah, it is. 1-800-684-3110. I want to continue to take your calls, your questions, your comments as well on the broadcast. Let's go to Drew in Texas. We're getting calls all around the country. I love to see that because you see that people care about this from all over the country when this news breaks in, because they're not spending enough time on it on mainstream news outlets or cable outlets. I think still the queen of some of that news, and still it's just not getting the attention it should. But let me tell you something. File it away. Because it'll all be coming back if Donald Trump runs for president. They'll start their narrative, and we need to remember who wrote those narratives. It's Igor Dechenko, a Russian intel asset, who made lies that the FBI has confirmed were lies about President Trump. So, hey, Drew, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi. I just want to know, when are the Republicans and Democrats, both of them, going to be held accountable? Because I do remember right before the election here with Hillary Clinton, that who was it? Was it James Comey, the FBI director, before leading up to the 2016 election? What happened? Why did they drop Hillary Clinton's emails right before the election? It's almost like Republicans and Democrats are both kind of snakes in the grass here. And hear me out. Y'all remember Oliver North? Y'all remember Ronald Reagan? That whole deal? Well, here's the thing is this happens all through history here.
Oh, this
all
is okay. Look, part of this is, politics is a nasty business. Look, what James Comey did was wrong on three different counts. He should not have announced that they'd open an investigation against Hillary Clinton 4 weeks before, 6 weeks, 8 weeks before the election. That was ridiculous. Then he should not have announced that he closed it. Then he should not have announced that he reopened it. He should have said nothing the whole time. And we criticized him for impacting the election. I don't know if it would impact that on votes, but I will tell you this. It was the Department of Justice had no business doing it. And he didn't get to make prosecutorial decisions, and he did. Because he felt Loretta Lynch, the Attorney General, wasn't capable of doing it. I mean, this is the problem with all of this. We got another half hour of this broadcast. We're going to get into that, folks. I mean, this is a bombshell. This case is going to trial, by the way, in the next couple of weeks in Washington, D.C., or Eastern District of Virginia, Alexandria, if they don't resolve it, settle it out, plea it out or something. But, I mean, it is a bombshell of information.
All right, folks, to join our broadcast, it's 1-800-684-3110. There's one line open right now, so you can grab that during this next quick break. It's only about a minute
podcast.
Break. Yeah, that's right. Secular Brothers podcast at secularbrothers.com. That's SEKULOW brothers.com. So our third podcast we'll be doing today. So again, we haven't pre-recorded these. We're going to be doing them today in the afternoon. And it's a totally different vibe. If you have heard it, if you have listened, if you're in any of the chats too, let us know during this show if you have listened to the podcast yet. And if you're, are you watching it or are you doing it through Apple Podcast or Spotify? So we've got both a way for you to do the audio, to do the video, a little mix of both. But we really appreciate you checking it out. It's a very different tone, sometimes totally different topics, 100% different topics. Sometimes there's something we might still hit, but in a very different way. So I encourage you to check it out at SeculoBrothers.com. It's part of the Salem Podcast Network. We're excited about it. We're having a lot of fun with it. And I think that's the difference is you can have a little brevity with this show. But we'll be right back. Second half hour, Seculo, coming up.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
You know, for our second half hour, I think I had to reset it just for a little bit, so bear with me if you've been listening to the broadcast first half hour, because it's so shocking to hear the first time. If you've been following, which I have a feeling you have if you're listening or watching our broadcast, the legal sagas surrounding and dramas surrounding President Trump, I mean, going back to his presidency until this week, and all emanating out of the FBI, and finding out more and more about bad actors within the FBI. You would think this guy would be the top of the list of bad actors being paid for by you and me at the FBI. His name is Igor Danchenko. He was a Russian who was working at a U.S. think tank about a decade ago. And that was his first run-in with the FBI. Not a positive one then. That's because he started approaching colleagues at that think tank. And he came up to those colleagues and said, hey, you're about to get a job in administration. You know, we had a new election coming in. You're going to get access to classified info. I know people who will buy that classified info from you. Now, put into context this. He gets reported by those people. They did the right thing. Simultaneously, he was already being investigated by the FBI as a Russian intel asset operating in Washington, D.C. because of his visits to the Russian embassy and who he was hanging out with outside of the embassy that were Russian intel in Washington, D.C. Okay, so then they start to bring almost a full investigation against him. Cases starting. He flees.
Yep.
He shows back up in Washington, D.C. This time, the Steele dossier. Remember who is the main Russian source, who said all the salacious stuff that Donald Trump did when he was in Moscow? Igor Danchenko, who, after Christopher Steele was fired from the FBI
for
leaking information out, they brought in his main source, using your taxpayer dollars, a guy they had suspected was trying to buy and sell U.S. classified info to Russia as a Russian asset. They brought him back in as an FBI asset.
I mean, paid for by taxpayer dollars. Well, it gets worse. So in March of 2017, the FBI signed the defendant up as a, I'm reading from the brief that Durham filed, as a paid confidential human source of the FBI. So he's working for the FBI, paid for our taxpayer dollars. The FBI terminated its source relationship with the defendant in October of 2020. That's 1 month before the general election for the presidency of the United States. It's many, many months after Mueller's report was filed and done, which was in March. I want you to ask yourself this question. I mean, just think about this for a moment. They kept this guy on payroll till October of 2020. Why were they doing that? What was the basis that you would do that? And how come they never told us, Bob Mueller, that, by the way, the source of the Steele dossier was making stuff up and you need to know he's lying to the FBI and we're going to do that as a full good faith disclosure? Because they keep him on as a source, as a human source, so they don't have to disclose who the person is, because then you're putting, quote, a human asset at risk. This is how they played this. Yeah. I mean, it's really repulsive to a constitutional republic. We don't have time to take, can we take a call? Nah, too close. We will grab calls coming up. Stay on the line if you're on the line. We're going to be joined by Rick Grinnell, who was the director of national intelligence.
Yeah.
So this will be a fascinating conversation. We'll take some calls while Rick's on the air as well. And folks, Jordan and Logan's podcast, episode 3, comes out this afternoon. They'll be recording it after we're done with radio today. Completely different than this broadcast. People are loving it. It's getting great rankings in the podcast ranking system. It's called, if you go to secularbrothers.com, you can find out all the different places you can download the podcast.
Yeah, you can watch it. You can listen to it through Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any other place you like to get your podcast. But we also are videoing like we do this broadcast, but it's a totally different look, different set, different topics, discussion, and a very different tone. So we're having it's a lot lighter in the sense of, yes, yeah, sometimes we're going to hit heavy issues, but we know there's only so much you can. We want to keep educating you, but also so you're learning stuff, but also, you know, not make everything so hard hitting that you feel like, hey, you know, like I just can't take any more of this news. So it's the opposite of that. And I hope you'll check it out at secularbrothers.com. We're having a lot of fun with it, and we think you will too. We'll be right back on Secular. To Seculo. We're taking your phone calls too. We're going to continue to take those while we've got Rick Rennell with us at 1-800-684-3110. So Rick, you were the acting director of National Intelligence. This story you're focusing on today, which was released because of a court filing by Special Counsel Durham about a guy named Igor Danchenko, who was once investigated by the FBI as being a Russian intel asset trying to buy classified info while he was at a Washington, D.C. think tank from people about to enter a new administration. Then he flees because he gets word of they're investigating him. They're hot on his trail on that. That's an easy crime to prosecute. So he goes back to Russia. But then the FBI trusts him once again. They get rid of Christopher Steele because Steele is, he's going to the media. He's leaking to the media. So they bring in Danchenko for a multi-year gig as a confidential human source going through 2020. And Rick, this is the guy who supposedly had all the salacious lies, now we know, about President Trump when he was in Russia. This was the source. And yet, even after that first time around when they knew he was no good, the FBI brings him back on the taxpayer's dime as a human, as a confidential source.
Look, let's be very clear. Danchenko was hired and paid by the FBI. Well, the FBI absolutely knew that he was a liar. They knew that he had lied so many times, they couldn't trust him, but yet they paid him. Now, you ask yourself, why would the FBI be paying somebody who they don't trust? And I can't answer that. What I can tell you is that FBI agents rank and file, DOJ officials rank and file, all knew that the Steele dossier was filled with fake news, that Steele himself was compromised and paid by the Hillary Clinton campaign, and that Danchenko was the source for the Steele dossier, and he was not a credible source. Everybody knew that he was a liar. The FBI continued to pay him. Someone in the Senate has got to go crazy with oversight. This is an outrage. American taxpayers were paying a liar.
So Rick, let me give you two theories that I have. Number one, of course, Mueller never tells my legal team, which included Jordan, when we were representing President Trump, that this was the situation with the Steele dossier. Never comes up. So you're talking about exculpatory evidence. The guy they relied on, they're investigating. Okay, so that's one thing. Number two, or that his information was not trustworthy or truthful. Number two, he is retained and paid for. This is what I keep telling everybody, Rick, until after Mueller is done. He is history. Finished. And then they still are paying this guy. So here's my theory. You ask the question, Rick, why are they paying him? Because as long as he is a human asset, their disclosure, and you were the DNI, Director of National Intelligence, their obligations on disclosure are significantly reduced. That's what I think it is.
So what you're touching on, Jay, just to summarize, is that if he's still a paid informant, then he is a source that everything he said, did, or touches can be redacted and covered up, which then means we continue to pay him so that the cover-up is never known to the public that we screwed up. It's a public relations exercise for DOJ and the FBI, who knows that they messed up, but if they continue to pay Danchenko, then they get to say, you don't get to see any of the real truth, any of the information, because we have to keep a source's name covered. It very well could be the reason.
Yeah. Let me go to the phones. And if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. You're also talking to Rick Rennell. Connie in Washington State online, too. Hey, Connie.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. So I agree. You're right. This is a bombshell revelation. My question is, why do we have to wait until the Republicans take over the House for oversight to begin in all of this? What happens if the Republicans don't take over the House?
You'll have no oversight. That's what will happen. I mean, Rick, the reality is that the oversight function here is how you get to. We'll file FOIAs on this, but they're going to say ongoing investigations. But we're going to look, I'm having our team look at that. But the truth of the matter is, if the Republicans regain the House or the Senate or the both, this is certainly subject to oversight by the House of Representatives. If the Democrats still control the House of Representatives, however, I mean, let's just be clear. It's not likely that they're going to, Rick, they're not going to do oversight on this because it's embarrassing.
No, I think Connie makes a really great point about the problems of oversight and the politicization that we have going on in Congress. And we must have members of Congress on the House and the Senate side that, regardless of how embarrassing it is for Democrats or Republican administration, that they get to the truth. And if I can just say one thing, this is why I'm so proud to be part of the ACLJ, is because I am part of a family that gets to the bottom of facts and pushes the U.S. government, holds them accountable no matter what. And this is a case, Jay, that I think that we should absolutely look into, that we should take up. Thanks to our supporters, we have a team of lawyers that can do this. But this is an outrage. Your tax dollars are paying for a liar simply because DOJ and the FBI don't want to admit that they messed up.
It's really, I got to tell you something. It is, as the lawyers that handle this is breathtaking. I'm glad Durham filed this is in a brief, by the way. It's the only reason you found out about it was he filed the brief unredacted because they're getting ready to go to trial. But it tells you how serious this was and the corruption on this. And they kept him on payroll till a month before the 2020 election, just so, in my view, and this is speculation a bit, folks, but we've been doing this a long time. He's a human source. We don't disclose it.
Yeah, he couldn't be disclosed before the election.
Right.
I mean, so you wouldn't have had time to file the right things. He was being paid until the end of October.
Believe me, this was not the story.
Election's Tuesday of November.
Joe Biden would have not wanted this story out if you were a Democrat running for president.
No, absolutely not. Let's go to Mary in North Carolina on line 6. Hey, Mary.
Hey, thanks so much for taking my call, and thanks so much for helping us understand and know the truth every day. You guys are great, and we are so grateful to have you, and God bless you all.
Thank you.
My question is, Congress and Mueller went after Trump, you know, for Russian collusion. These guys were actually colluding, and who's going to bring them to justice? Well, they actually are the people that are colluding.
You're right. As far as, I mean, the whole investigation, Rick, was this, you know, Russian hoax, as we called it, this collusion by the Trump. And then in reality, the FBI has a paid informant who knowingly was investigated by the FBI as maybe working for or trying to get information for FSB, the Russian Secret Service, and then turn it around. They use him as a source. Then they fire him, but they don't stop paying him until October of 2020. But you ask the question, Mary, how do we hold them accountable? And Rick, this is where it comes in. There's two avenues here, and this is where the support of the ACLJ members makes a huge difference. We have a team, as Rick said, that does the FOIA issues. Rick's part of the team that helps us do stuff on all this, make sure we're going in the right direction. And then there's congressional oversight, and our government affairs office works on that. But Rick, this is going to have to be handled by the legislative branch in large part, I think, just because the nature of the way the FOIA stuff will move slower. This would be the perfect oversight for an incoming Congress.
Yeah, I just first want to say to Mary that I'm just as frustrated as she is.
Yep.
She's right. When I was acting director of national intelligence, one of the reasons I declassified the 52 transcripts is for this exact reason. The FBI and DOJ were trying to tell me that I couldn't unredact these transcripts because it would reveal sources and methods. When I went through each one, that wasn't the case. It was a PR exercise. They were covering up their mistakes, not sources or methods. And Jay, I think that you're right. This hunch of why Denchenko was continued to be paid is to protect
yes.
their storyline, to protect DOJ and FBI's narrative. And so I think if you're hearing our voice, you need to get involved because we need new members of Congress. We need people who actually get to the bottom of it. You cannot rely on Adam Schiff.
No, but Rick, you know, you have to think about this for a moment. I mean, Bob Mueller was not being paid anymore when this guy was still being paid. I mean, the Mueller report team disbanded in June of, was it 2020? And they were gone. I mean, really gone. The report came out in March. And this guy's getting paid till weeks before the election. I mean, literally, not weeks. Days before the election. So it's outrageous. Rick, we appreciate it. Rick, of course, is a senior member of our team. We appreciate your expertise on this. Folks, you get the acting director of national intelligence, a member of the cabinet, as part of this team. So when we can get to the bottom of this stuff, folks, we do. We're going to take more calls on this at 800-684-3110. Don't forget episode 3 of the Seculo Brothers podcast with Jordan and Logan. It is great. It is nothing like the radio broadcast. You're going to get a totally different experience.
Yeah, that is definitely true. It is a totally different experience. It's much lighter. So if you feel like, okay, it's not like the second time we're going to hit you with heavy, heavy news. We do talk about the big issues, obviously, of the day, of the week that are on your mind. But we also get into more cultural issues, pop culture, some of the sports as well, and what's happening around our country and the world. So check it out at SeculoBrothers.com. Now, we got a final segment coming up, and we're going to take your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. There's a couple lines open. We'll start with Annette, Bill, Carrie, and Kirsten, but there are a couple lines open at 1-800-684-3110. All right, welcome back to Seculo. We're going to take your calls in order right now. We got two that are very close, Annette's came in 10 seconds before Carrie. So, Carrie, you will be next. Annette in Illinois on line one. Hey, Annette.
Hi. Thank you for so much for taking my call and for all you do. I'm just so disgusted about our media, how they're apparently withholding information about matters of national security. And these things you're speaking of and others for our past, especially around the election cycles, are things that should be informing the voting population. And I just feel like there has to be something that can be done to force our media into a position of actual reporting and perhaps investigative reporting. I'm old enough to remember the years when that happened. And I'm just curious to know, is there any possibility a class action suit could be filed on behalf of states or citizens who have been deprived the information we need to make an educated vote, which is our right?
I mean, you're worried about it as a voter, and I get that, Annette. I'm thinking, Jordan and I are thinking, we said this during the break, we were the lawyers, and they weren't telling us this stuff. I mean, we were representing a client they were accusing of all kinds of things, and they don't give us the exculpatory evidence. Oh, by the way, the guy we relied on, we already investigated him once, and we're about to indict him. And that would have been some, you know, helpful information. And by the way, he was being paid in this entire time. So here's the thing on the media. Thank goodness that we have this broadcast like this and stations around the country and satellite radio and all the social media platforms that we're able to broadcast every day for an hour. And now Jordan and Logan have launched a podcast for 3 days a week for more content. So you cannot sue the, you can't make the media, under the First Amendment, you can't make the media cover something. What you can do, which we are going to do, is you look at every legal recourse we have, whether it is a Freedom of Information Act request, which will end up in litigation because DOJ will never give you this, or oversight hearings in the House and Senate, both possible, depending on who gets the House and Senate. That's how you do this. So the political process and the legal process is how this works. But frankly, the political process here, Jordan, will be the better of the two as far as timeliness goes.
Yeah, that's right. If the political process is coming up in November, all we need is to flip one, the House or the Senate, you can get investigations into this. You can also shut down some of these bogus investigations as well. So things are still looking very good for the House. The House, you know, a lot of these investigations start there. So I think, again, remember to get out the vote. Remember these issues. Don't forget. File them away in your mind. Make sure you remember to talk about these issues. And I think, too, this one's even more long-term than that. This is one to remember, too, if Donald Trump ends up on a ballot again sometime in the future as well. The lengths they will go try and stop him from becoming president again, because these were the lengths they would go to try and take him out while he was president. Like, back to the phones we go. I said, Carrie next in Montana. Hey, Carrie.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm going to keep it real short and sweet. We know we're dealing with Democratic left-wing liars. How can the American citizens recoup our tax dollars? That's my question.
Well, you can't bring a taxpayer lawsuit. So there's not a, you can't say, gee, I don't like the way this money was spent on this informant from Russia, so I, as a taxpayer, I'm going to sue. The reason I'm really up to speed on this is, and we're not going to get to it today, is we've got a big Supreme Court case on issues involving legal standing that we're about to file in the next couple of weeks. We'll tell you more about it probably on tomorrow's or Monday's program. And these issues come up. So the tax, as a taxpayer, your recourse is not filing a lawsuit. Your recourse in a situation like this is support groups like the ACLJ so we can do our job in court and legislatively through our Office of Government Affairs, which we beefed up significantly, and we are going to make sure that your voice is heard. But a lot of this is going to depend on the outcome of the election. But we also have launched ACLJ action. I mean, we've made a lot of major moves in the last several weeks on really, last several months on a lot of these issues.
Yeah. Let's keep going to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. We'll go to Kirsten next in Washington State, then we'll get to you, Bill. Hey, Kirsten.
Thank you for taking me my call and for all you do.
Yep.
My question was partly answered. I forgot the option of joining the ACLJ.
Yes.
But my question was, other than voting or praying and voting, what can we do to help uncover?
So you can get active in campaigns. You know, the voting is the minimum that you can do. And of course, praying is important. Joining organizations like ACLJ's. Check out our ACLJ action as well, which takes up another step in the political realm. But I also encourage you, if you're able to, you don't have to have money to help campaigns. Your time is very valuable. Whether it's, if you're not really mobile, so you're not going door to door, phone banking, a couple hours a week for a campaign, helping put together campaign materials. That is a way you can really make an impact where, again, your time is also extremely valuable to campaigns, and volunteering is very important. We know that the left, that is one place they're very strong in, and we need to be able to match that, at least match it. And so always remember, there's a step you can go further than voting in our political process. All these local campaigns, from the smallest to the statewide, need volunteers. Your state party does as well. So get involved that way if you can. And there's ways to do it if you're mobile, not mobile. There's just so many options. Your time is valuable for campaigns, and to donate it that way, I think, is very important. Let's go to Bill in Wyoming as next call. Hey, Bill.
Hi. Thanks for letting me call you. This is one reason why I vote as often as I can. My question is, how does this affect what's going on with the business in Mar-a-Lago with this new information?
So there's a couple of things. Number one, these are independent issues. So the search warrant is now subject to some litigation from the president's current lawyers against the Department of Justice as it relates to the search warrant being executed, and specifically as to the appointment of a special master, which the judge said she is going to do. The Department of Justice is talking about maybe appealing that, so we'll see. But that is a different issue. So that's a case where the former president sued the Department of Justice. This case, it is the United States of America, through the Department of Justice, that has brought a criminal indictment against Igor Doshenko. So that's the differential here. So they really are independent of each other. But what it does show you is that you got to look behind the scenes as to what's really going on. Because one thing you cannot explain with any of this, frankly, is, A, how did we not get information about this when we were doing the the whole Mueller probe, and that this guy was paid after Mueller was not being paid anymore. They were still paying this informant up to days before the 2020 election. Inexcusable. So the ACLJ's teams, our government affairs team and our litigation team that does Freedom of Information Act requests, will find out, we'll attempt to see where there's avenues there. We're bringing it to you this on this broadcast, which we produce 5 days a week, live. A lot of you are hearing it taped delayed, of course, as well, but live day and night in some markets, of course, SiriusXM, and then all the social media platforms. So when you support the work of the ACLJ, you're allowing all this information to get out, because we spent an hour today going over this with you. You're not getting that anyplace else. So you understand what your government was doing here. And also, Jordan and Logan have launched this great new, I am really thrilled with it, a great new podcast called Secular Brothers. Jordan will give you the details. You got to subscribe for it, to it, and listen to it. It's great, or watch it. There's multiple ways to get it.
Yeah, you can. We produce it just similar to this broadcast, different look, but that comes out in the afternoon. It's Monday, Tuesday, and then today, Thursday, so we'll have a new episode. We haven't done it yet, so it'll be a brand new. It's a totally different feel. You can go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Of course, we've got it through Facebook and all the Facebook pages, too, if you want to watch it that way. SeculoBrothers.com.